This is Curtis Lum with The Advertiser, and this is Leadership Corner. Today we're talking with Linda Kaleo Pike. She's the president of the Native Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce and finance administrator with Anunui Builders. Thanks for joining us. Can you talk about the Chamber of Commerce, Native Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce, how old it is, how many members, why it formed?
Well, first of all, good morning, Curtis.
Thank you.
It's a lovely day, so we don't have to face the rain. From my understanding, listening to past presidents and past board members of the chamber, it started back in the 70s. A Hawaiian businessman was trying to get a license, and he was denied a license, a business license. And so he got together with several of his friends to say, what can we do? So over that conversation, they came up with creating their own chamber. And at first it was not called the Native Hawaiian Chamber because that particular name was taken. So they had to use businessmen association. And later on, when the name was freed up, they went back and claimed that name. So then it became the Native Hawaiian Chamber. So it's from the early 70s. So we're talking, you know, over 30 years that the chamber has been in existence.
Do you know what kind of license he was getting?
No, that I didn't ask.
And
but
why he was denied?
Back in the 70s, I'm not sure what the criteria was for getting a business license, what the steps were. But just the mere fact that he was probably given a bad time, or anyway, his license was denied. And it was from that point that they decided that they would do something about it. So the Native Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce, as it is known today, was formed. And they had charter members. They actually went through the whole business setup. And what came out of that is that they wanted to have Native Hawaiians doing business and helping each other out by networking and by mentoring them, and to have this organization that was prestigious so that the community would know that Native Hawaiians were businessmen as well. And I know growing up there was always a when you said you were Hawaiian, they would say, okay, you know, where do you work? It was never, what do you own? What's your business? And that was just my own experience. So I think that they must have faced the same kind of stigmatism, I guess you would call it, yeah. So anyway, since that inception, the chamber has been in existence and has had ideas, you know, going with the times. And now that there's talk of nationhood, the chamber is very interested in being the voice of business in Hawaii, period. Not just for Hawaiian business, but voice, doing business as in Hawaii. We can make an impact on how it's done. We don't have to follow a Western train of thought to do business in Hawaii, and neither does anyone else in Hawaii. So we may start the standard. And of course, that's sort of the dream and the mission we'd like to be, the voice of business in Hawaii. And it has been a struggle, as in many ways, Native Hawaiian businesses have had its obstacles put in its way because of longevity, maybe. Not to say that there hasn't been very, very successful Hawaiian businessmen. It's just saying, as a rule, not including our membership, outside of our membership, we just had done through the Hawaii Maoli project, we were tasked with doing a survey of Native Hawaiian businesses. And one of the striking things that came out of it, it was it's still very difficult to do business in Hawaii, and more importantly, being Hawaiian and doing business in Hawaii. So that stirred us even more to realize that we really need to be out there, visible. We need to let our Hawaiian people, whether they're business or not, know that we are in existence, that we are concerned. And our post, you know, most chambers are, or one of their missions is to lobby for better business practices. And so we have an active committee in our organization that does just that. They attend, and anything to do with business, they lobby for what we believe in. So in that arena, we've been very active. But I think we find that we need to be more encompassing of all of our Hawaiians. And we're finding that more of them want to be entrepreneurs. So it's a really good fit for us.
Everybody knows how hard it is to do business in Hawaii, just if you're anybody to do business. What makes it more difficult, I think, for Native Hawaiians in their home land? What makes it more difficult for Native Hawaiians to do business here?
Well, I don't think it's just business. I think it's just difficult in general. You know, there's a lot of obstacles put in the way of being Hawaiian, whether it be the history, whether it be the colonization of our people, whether it be anything, it just is very difficult for Hawaiians in general. We top the charts in all the diseases. We chart the tops in incarceration. We are very high up there in the lower economic strata of state of Hawaii. So we know that we're starting from a very low point and having to raise ourselves up. So it's a long road. So business would not be any exception. Maybe, and I'm talking as a rule, not as our membership, because those that are members of our organization are recognized business people. So they have pretty much been successful in what they do. So I'm talking about those that are in business that are not part of our organization. Whether it be funding, whether it be getting loans, whether it be getting right locations. A lot of things happen in Hawaii is who you know. And, you know, that gives you a hand up. So it's a very intricate problem. It's not just a simple answer that will answer why. So we realize that there is this problem. The health industry knows that there's a problem. So we're all trying to combine and say, you know, we need to be healthy. If we are to be a healthy nation, we also need to be healthy, period. We also need to be economically strong, and we need to have, which means having good schools, having good hospitals, having the infrastructure, and as well as the economic base for us to start. So that's what the chamber is trying to involve itself with in all areas. Be concerned, but concentrate mostly on the business sector.
As a chamber member, what kind of benefits or what can you offer to a member to help them succeed?
Our package right now is not as strong as we'd like it to be. Right now, our membership, the benefits are that we have monthly meetings, that we try to have guest speakers that come in and give us some insight into different areas and different arenas of issues that are facing us. So that's one benefit that we have. Another benefit is that we hold, not coffee hours, but like evening meetings that we just network with people. And that has been the two strongest. We are now working on getting ourselves a directory, which will identify who we are, what kind of business we do, and that should be coming out within the next couple months. That'll be another benefit. And also we have a mentorship program and an internship program, and those are also not just beneficial to our members, but it brings them back into the community to do things that we think is really important. So we are still working on trying to increase our membership package so that people want to join our membership and not just, oh, this is just an organization to join. I pay my dues and I don't see them till the next time they notify me that I pay my dues. We want this membership to be active, to be vocal, to be proactive in the community, to be the forefront of we can be successful and help others to be successful. And that's our mission.
How many members did you say you have now?
Oh, we have close to about 150 members.
Does that fluctuate or is it pretty?
Right now we have about 150. It has dropped down to 100. It has been as high as 300, 400 members. So as far as the membership goes, that's another area that we're trying to work on as well. And I think that just comes from being more exposed in the community and actively going out and reaching out to the community.
Do you see that as president as your biggest challenge is to get more membership and get more people involved? Or maybe just what is your biggest, as president, what is your
as
biggest
As president
challenge?
This year, my focus, and we just heard in our installation dinner, retired Judge Thomas Kalakukui talk about our values. And not just our values, but values in general of what Hawaiian organizations pick. And generally they were the same values. Very nurturing, you know. But in business, we need to have a balance. There has to be that, well, we're not only going to be nurturing, but we also have to be very akamai. We have to be aggressive in getting business. We have to get out there and fight for some of the things that we need. So last month we did actually have a retreat and we talked about those issues. And we came up with a balanced set of values. And now my focus for my term, which is only a year, is to incorporate these values as part of our organization, which will mean that we'd have to go to the membership. We will now have to vote in it as a board. And then also maybe have a couple of workshops on explaining what these values are to our members and to anyone who wants to come and listen. Our general membership meetings are not closed to our members. We can have guests come, and so that is a very open type of inclusive, which is very in line with what Hawaiian culture really is. Hawaiian culture is very inclusive, not exclusive. And inclusive meaning that we include anyone who embraces our culture and our way of life. Which is quite different from, we include you, we include you and you can be contrary to our culture and you bring us down and we still include you. I don't think our ancestors were that ignorant or that naive. They were very intelligent, very proactive in a lot of things that they did. So we do include a lot of different things and we partner up and network with many organizations. And that's why we felt that we need to be inclusive.
Are you affiliated or with the other chambers?
Yes, we are. We are a member of the Hawaii Chamber of Commerce, and we also threw our hat in to be in the Associated Chamber of Commerce, and we have representation on the board of that, the affiliated chamber. That's the Filipino, the Chinese, the Korean, the Hispanic. There's a bunch of them that's in there, as well as a big chamber, the Hawaii Chamber of Commerce.
When you get together with them, do you share problems, ideas?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we also partner up in events. You know, whenever they have, let's say the Chinese Chamber of Commerce is having a function, you know, we make sure that we let our board know so they can let their people that they know. So it's a sort of like a networking in that way. And sometimes we do, if we have people that can attend, we actually send them to attend certain other chamber events as well.
When you talk with them, do they talk about do you notice that they have the same kind of problems and concerns? Or
absolutely. Absolutely, because majority of them are the minorities that the have chambers. There's the Japanese Chamber of Commerce is also another one. And although you would think that they have a large membership, they are still struggling with membership. They still struggle with the same kind of things that we do as far as what kind of package can we, you know, give our members? How can we help them in business? What is out there that's stumbling blocks for a lot of minorities? You know, so there is discussion on many levels that are very similar. We're in the same struggle.
Is it just that I always often hear that business owners are so busy working, running the business, that sometimes they don't have time or they don't can't put the effort into maybe doing getting involved in chambers and small business associations and
correct. And that's why the Native Hawaiian Chamber would like to have us to be successful enough that we can devote time to volunteer and get into the community and help others. Because if we're so busy just keeping our own business, there is no way for us to uplift others. So our goal is to make ourselves successful so that we can have that time and that luxury to go out and help others. So that's what we're looking for.
And so you're just here on board for a year, but you've been an officer with the chamber?
Yes, I've been an officer, I believe, for the last 5 years. Is secretary, I'm not secretary, excuse me, treasurer. And just last year, I went to first vice president, and then this year to president. Hmm. Yeah.
Do you see any, since you've been on the board, any big changes or?
I wouldn't say big changes, but I have seen a trend where we're trying to include more of the younger generation. Just even sit on the board. Try to get new or younger membership in. And one of the things that we believe in is that this has to be a continuum. It cannot stop with the old timers. We need to start including these newer, younger members, newer in business, so that they can become a part to carry on this chamber. It's quite different to belong to an organization that has mostly the kupuna, and then you are the mo'opuna in the group, and then you have to wait to be a kupuna to make a difference.
Mm.
And there's a lot of organizations out there that are that way. But in business, we know that we need new ideas. We know that we need to be forward-thinking as well as backward-thinking. We need to look in our past, but we also need to focus on our future. And many times what we're doing is just focusing on present. So by bringing in a lot of the newer energy, the newer ideas, it helps us to either stay in focus on what our mission is, or if our mission isn't working, is to change it so that it does help. Because what we're really trying to do is focus in on business.
Any success bringing in the new?
Yes, new, yes, yes.
Young?
Absolutely. We have actually sitting on our board right now, I would say a mixture of half of our, I would say, I consider myself more kupuna status, 55 and over. And then there is the younger generation that are in their 30s and 40s. And that's the kind of generation I'm talking about. And as I said, about half of our board members are now in that age group, which is really nice.
Are there a mixture of business owners on the board, or business, not, maybe not owners, but
yes,
like different work with different mm-hmm. Professions and all that?
There is a segment from the government. We have private sector. We have education. So we have a real large mixture, even in our membership. And I was trying to do our membership, just kind of going over it last night to see we have. Lawyers, we have physicians, we have construction, we have accounting, very different. We have marketing and advertising, we have IT, So we have a really wide range of people who are joining us. And in the government sector, you know, we have from DHHL, which is very strong in our organization because they see the need and the mix because they are helping Hawaiians and so are we. So we have a nice size membership from them. We also have from the education, we have a lot of Kamehameha schools that have joined us. And all of them see the importance, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm. How does all this Chamber of Commerce activity influence you on your in your regular job, the job where you get paid? I mean, obviously the Chamber takes up a lot of time, but you also have to work.
Yes. I think it gives me a clearer focus and a want to be better at what I do because I am not only reflection on business, I'm reflection on Hawaiian business. So it sort of wants me to make me do business in a way that's pono. And a lot of people use the word pono and it's a very arbitrary word, but what it really means is that you're not just doing what is right for you. You're doing what is right for all. So it's a very interesting way to run a business. They say, well, you can't run a business in a Hawaiian way. It just doesn't work. Yes, it does work. Because our values have very strong ramifications to it. To be ha'aha'a, which is to be humble, does not mean you give up everything. To do business with aloha doesn't mean you give your shirt off the back. A lot of times aloha means that you're going to let them fail so that they have a really strong message that they're not going to do it again. So it's not a matter of just holding someone up or enabling them. We're trying to build them into be self-sustaining. And I think that has been the most influential part of me being a part of the Chamber, is to understand that what I'm doing is not just for myself, but for all Hawaiians. And be a beacon. You can be successful. You can be honorable. You can be humble. You can have pride, because pride does not come from boasting or unsubstantiated pride. It comes from having a backup that you're doing such a great job that you can have pride in that. Which is quite different from being prideful and have nothing there. You're just a proud person. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pride coming from a place where you have done a great job. So.
And at your job as the finance administrator, how large a company is Anuenue?
10 years. Mm-hmm. I've worked with them since 2002. So, and it is a female-owned construction company. They're general contracting. It has been a struggle, and I don't care what they say, it is still, construction is still a man's world. So it is hard just to start off with. But my sister has owned it for 10 years, so she's been up and down and through the ringer and back again. But just being in business for 10 years says a lot that she's able to sustain. And which is a beacon for other women. Then they can be in non-traditional professions and they can make a go of it.
So do you think she has maybe even almost two strikes against her with Native Hawaiian woman in construction business?
Yes, I think so. And in construction, it's an entirely different animal. You can't go to, let's say, an OHA to get a grant, it's almost not worth your time. Because the kind of capital you need are huge. We're talking $1 million project. You know? So you need substantial financial backup. So, you know, even though OHA is a, you know, has been able to help a lot of businesses, they cannot help certain businesses. It's just out of their reach. And you don't, and that's just so our market then means we need to go to the banks. And we can go to SBA and we can get, this is the funny part about SBA, and nothing knocking them or anything, it's just a reality. If you go to SBA, they will get you the loan, but it is at a higher interest rate than you could get at the bank. So, really, but they're mandated by federal guidelines.
You're like the last resort then, I mean.
Yeah, you know, and not necessarily last resort, but they're good out there for people who don't really need a lot of working capital. Then that's workable for them. But if you're in construction, you need a lot of working capital. And so you really have to start building your building blocks and trying to get financial backing from established banks, because then your bonding steps in. And your bonding will require that you be healthy and strong. So it's really a catch-22. You know, so, and that's why I say it's really difficult.
Do you have a lot of input in your sister's business as far as... Or she's pretty much, she pretty much runs everything.
My sister runs everything. She, I do have a lot of say in the financial side. But as far as the working of the company, she is the president and CEO, and she pretty much does all of the final decisions. You know, she has her committees to help her, but basically it's in her lap. But then again, she also takes the total responsibility. So therefore, she should have a lot to say in what she does.
So that if you have to divide the time, how much time do you spend with Chamber or Ananui?
Ananui is my full-time job. The Chamber is a volunteer position. So I give as much time as I can afford to spend on it. We have a very prestigious event coming up in March, which is the OO Awards. And the OO Awards is an award that recognizes individuals, business individuals, that are Hawaiian and that have really exemplified. This year, our two awardees is going to be Auntie Genoa Keawe, for all her years and years and years of being in the tourism industry and entertainment industry. And we also have Clifford Jamile, who has been with the Board of Water Supply for many, many years. And we're... in the past, we've had, gosh, I can't name a whole bunch of them, but we had Auntie Mary Lou, Auntie Mary Lou, who does the feather lace. And she and her daughter. And at the same year, we had Tom Kaulukukui. You know, I call him Tommy, and you know, because I know him personally. And we also had last year, we had Trustee Kihune, and we had the late Paige Barber. In the past, we've had Dr. Chun, we've had Ostender, we've had Winona Rubin, I mean, just a whole bunch of people. I mean, it would be unfair for me to try to, at this point in time, off the top of my head, try to remember them. But we've had over 50. That we've recognized since the inception of the OO Awards.
How long have you been giving the awards out?
I would say about 30 years. Yeah. Don't quote me on the exact amount, but you know, over 30 years. And it's just been a very wonderful experience for everybody. And we have this, in the last couple of years, We've had it at the, I think just last year and this year, we're having it at the Hilton Hawaiian Village. So it's growing. It's an event that last year we had very close to 600 people attend, and we expect to do the same this year.
And that's a chamber-sponsored event.
It is. It is totally sponsored by the Native Hawaiian Chamber. Mm-hmm. So we sell tables to sponsor it, and we, as part of their acknowledgement and recognition, and that's the reason why it's called O'o, is because we give them, award them the symbolic O'o stick. And the O'o represents planting. It is a stick that's used for digging, for planting. And we are planting seeds. And all of these people that we recognize have been a large contributor in the community. So it's one of these that I'm very, very, very proud of.
So your term started in
July.
And
so
it's 1 year.
1 year, so by the end of June. But normally our presidency goes, you know, we carry it over until the new president is elected. So sometimes it might go into August, until the very next board meeting. Yeah.
At the end of August, when you're, assume you have to step down, is it just 1 year? Can you go?
Yes, no. I don't think I'll continue because of the fact that, you know, it does take a lot of time. And you know, you volunteer a lot of your time and energy, and you still hold down a full-time position. So, you know, it's not like my business can say, oh, since, and that's one of the things too, you know, we don't have staff, there's no office, there's no place for us to be at. So we're really doing everything from home. You know, my sister's been very generous in letting me use the facility to do chamber business. So I've been real fortunate in that respect. But not everybody has that opportunity.
I was just wondering, at the end of your term, where do you hope the chamber to be as far as under your guidance?
I think in our chamber has been a very phenomenal, it has been a phenomenon, is what I'm trying to say. No one looks at their reign as being their reign. At least since I've been on the board, everyone looks at it as just a succession of thought. And we just sort of, even though maybe we might have a focus of some sort, it is really to push the main thing forward. So we have this juggernaut here, and we might push this little point, but we're still trying to drive this whole juggernaut along. So the one, when I step down, the next person will still have all of that, but they may just pursue one area in more of a focus. So it's been very unique, where there's no power struggle amongst us, and there has been no ego where, well, in my term we did this and we did that. It's more of, this year we did this, which is quite different, you know, and we're just continuing from last year, and I've heard this continuously throughout the reign of the last six presidents. So it's been and that's one of the reasons why I decided that I would step out to the plate and do it. Otherwise, I would have stayed as treasurer. Mm. You know, not have gone on. But because I saw this really wonderful trend, and I don't know if I've seen that in other organizations.
So it's not like, yeah, you have to say, well, when I was president, we did this and we did that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's such a wonderful place to be, because it's not all about me. It's about us. And I think if it was about me, it would be an entirely different focus. And I don't think I would have taken the position. And that's why I treasure this organization, because they really try to do what they say. It's not just voice. They really do have the heart to make it match. And for that, I am very, very proud to be a part of this organization.
And maybe this question won't fit then, because it's not an individualistic thing, but do you have personal goals as far as where you want the chamber?
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. As each president prior to me, we each had a vision of what we would like to accomplish. And as I said, my accomplishment would be the directory. That's something I wanted to accomplish. And also to get all the groundwork for the chamber to be involved in this conference they're going to have next year, in combination with the Hawi Maoli and OHA, and hopefully with OHA, I should say. Maybe not, don't put OHA in there yet, because we're trying to get them, but to be actively involved in that. And that's a whole planning process, you know, because I don't think that conference will be until next year. And what we're looking at is trying to go to the outer islands and try to set up island sister chambers on each of the islands. Maui has one already. We have a Native Hawaiian Chamber Maui branch, Maui chapter, I should say, and we'd like to set one up in the other islands as well.
So what's this conference? This conference is going to be...
It's going to be on business, a Hawaii business, and the Hawaii Maoli has a project that their whole focus is to how do we make business in Hawaii better. So they teamed up with the Native Hawaiian Chamber, and we did the survey for them, and then this year three is supposed to be doing this conference. So that's what we're trying to do.
That would be the first time they have a conference like this.
Oh, no, they've had other conferences with, you know, with the Native Hawaiian Alliance. I never can remember their acronyms. But they just had a huge conference in September. That's with Robin Danner's group. I believe, what is it called? NHCA? Native Hawaiian Economic Alliance? NHEA? I think that was their big one. And then OHA just had one back in June or early part. And so, you know, other organizations are having these conferences, but what we're looking at is saying, you know what, instead of having all these individual ones, why don't we have a huge one? Maybe it won't be this next year, but how about 2008? And that's where we're looking at being part of the chamber, coming in and saying, hey, why don't we partner up with everybody?
Has that been a challenge, getting everybody together?
I just think that everybody is so focused in doing their own that they just don't see the need, maybe. But I think that is why this Hawaii Maoli project is now starting to show everybody that we really have a need out there that is wider than what you can reach. So maybe if we partner up, we can try to have our net extend further, and we might be even more successful together than we were individually.
Would that just be for Hawaii, or would you be looking to, like, companies on the mainland or businesses on the mainland, maybe run by Native Hawaiians? Or
yes, we are. We are. That is our ultimate goal, is to have all business, Hawaiian businesses, be involved. Whether they're in the Europe or Japan.
Do you have any members that are not in Hawaii?
Yes, actually we do have a couple of them that are in the mainland. Yeah. And several on other islands. Excluding Maui, of course, because they now belong to the Maui chapter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're affiliated then?
With our chapter here.
Okay, I don't have that much more to ask. I just, you know, appreciate you taking the time to explain, you know, what the organization is all about, challenges, and what you guys are trying to do. Any other thoughts?
If I can just say one thing in closing, is to reiterate what I had said earlier, is that the Native Hawaiian Chamber is a very I am very proud to be a part of the chamber for many, many reasons. And if I have to single out just a few, it is because it is a place and a group that I know I can be proud, not just being a business person or not just being successful in life, but being proud that I'm Hawaiian as well, and that there is no downside. and that this organization is very special and it needs to be perpetuated. And I encourage anyone to join it or to be affiliated with it in any shape or form. If you don't want to be a member, just be interested in it. We have a website, you know, nativehawaiian.cc.com. It's a website, you know, so. And it's, just look on the website, check out who we are. And I think we can be a really wonderful influence on business as it's done in Hawaii. And we might even take out some of these myths, you know, about Hawaiians and how they are not successful.
That sounds like one of the challenges, too, that being president.
Yes.
Again, something every president would have to face.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of myths out there. And, you know, as a matter of fact, in closing, I'll just share with you something that Ramsey Tom, I watched him at a conference, and he brought up this wonderful point. It was the OHA conference, I believe. And he says, you know, he brought up he had a slideshow, and he held up a box of Hawaii macadamia nuts, and it had on there the a ki'i, which is a carved image of our gods. It's right there on the Hawaii macadamia, the Mauna Loa macadamia, whichever what brand it is, big ki'i on there. And he says, you know, I think this is the only place in the world where religious objects are placed on a box of candy. So he had on his slide, same box with Jesus on it. And he said, tell me if anyone would buy this. But yet, we Hawaii and Hawaiians allow this to happen. So we need to take back some of that responsibility, and we need to take back and even make guidelines as to what is acceptable and what is not. You know, so we have a long road ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today. You're
not
busy.
A
two
problem.
Hats. You got probably more than two hats because you got a lot of family and you got to take care of house and job and the chamber, so I appreciate taking the time.
It's just because it is such a worthy organization that this is my pleasure, you know, to expose our organization to a wider audience if it can be done. That's wonderful. And thank you very much. Thank you, advertiser, and really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.